an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents a show about everything. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the unforgettable, ever-insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real-life journeys as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before, with tonight's guest, author, speaker, and former media personality, David Icke. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
We have David Icke on the show today. This is quite inspiring, actually, is the word I'd like to use, because I've been inspired by David on many occasions throughout the many years that I've come to know him. And the reason is because I was working at IBM, and I told my parents I wanted to be a singer, and they said, no, you don't do that. And I left IBM to be a singer, and my parents were really upset, and the family was upset, and I was following something I believed in. But at least what I believed in brought joy and happiness to people when I sang to them. David Icke was bringing a story, information, an experience of a world that people were not understanding. And as opposed to him being met with joy and applause, he was met with anger and fear and threats. And to think I thought I had passion going into singing and following my joy and going against my small community and what my small world thought I should do. Here's a man who really had passion, who not only going against the small world with his small community, but in so many ways, the big world, the whole world, maybe even the universe. He was a very well-known BBC television sports presenter and spokesman for the Green Party. And then all of a sudden, his name became a household name, but more for ridicule almost overnight when he made some announcements saying, you know, what's going on is not what's really going on. And to think that he put himself in jeopardy, but also his wife and his kids, and his kids were ridiculed too at school. And I'm following this story as he's sharing it in different interviews, and I'm inspired more and more. And at the time, I didn't understand what he was talking about. I was just tuning into, wow, someone that believes so much in something that would put themselves in that place. I did nothing compared to that. And then even with now, Life Changes with Filippo, as we're bringing more and more information to the public that normally wouldn't get out, or in ways that it wouldn't get out, in the small world that I've lived in that's bigger now, some people said, well, you don't do it right this way because it's not spiritual enough, and you don't do it this way because it's too woo-woo, or you. And here's a man who has forged through all of these issues that have been brought upon him. At one time, a friend of mine went to go see him live, and he had to have security there. And other times, he's been not allowed into certain countries or whatever. But all along, he has believed this, and he has said what he's believed. Now, believe it or not, this man has become, in a sense, a rock star in so many places. And I've seen him in so many films. I just saw him in Thrive, or not just, but with this in November. And so much has come up because of that, and talking about, you know, him and what he brings through in that film. But he goes into certain towns, and people are lining up down the street to be in that theater. And he comes out on stage, and he's a rock star. Students, and you know, in certain colleges, and so whether or not that ridicule or that angst has gone away, or the fear that other people have, or the pressure, he is following his passion, and that was one of the main things that has inspired me. And then another thing I would share to people with people is to say, look, even if none of this of what he's saying is true, isn't our mind expanded beyond where it was before? And if we've stretched and come back, do we not see the world as differently? Or maybe there's truth, but maybe it's not exactly as he sees it, because he's just, we're all in the same place in different ways, in different areas, and he's seeing something and he's trying to figure it out for us, as we're trying to figure out something here for you all, and you all are trying to figure out things for us. So we're trying, instead of fighting him, let's just try and understand where he is, and maybe we can help him figure out his stuff, or maybe he can help us figure out ours. But there's a symbiotic relationship we have here and can have, all of us. And so this has been an inspiration for me, and to finally have him on the show, and being able to talk to him in person about all of this, or some of it, as much as we can get in the time that we have together, I look forward to exactly that. So without further ado, we'll be right back with David Icke.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook, and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Is indeed David Icke, who is an English writer, a public speaker, and a former media personality. He's still a media personality in a sense, maybe even bigger than before, but best known for his views on what he calls, quote, who and what is really controlling the world. Describing himself as the most controversial speaker and author in the world, I think a lot of people would describe him as that. He has written 16 books explaining his position, dubbed, quote, New Age conspiracism, and has attracted a substantial following across the political spectrum. His 533-page book, The Biggest Secret, published in 1999, has been called the conspiracy theorist Rosetta Stone, and now he's got a new book called Remember Who You Are that just came out that is, in his words, groundbreaking, life-changing, and on and the cutting edge is taking and is moved a giant leap. And here we have and are grateful to have David Icke on the show.
Hello, Filippo.
You sound just like yourself on everything that I've ever heard you do.
Well, after that introduction, I think I'll call it a day while I'm still ahead, mate.
No, you know, I've heard you talk about those times that I started describing, sometimes people don't know. You have the message that you're putting out that's important to you. And isn't that interesting that you heard a perspective today of a message that is in the subtext that maybe you weren't as much aware of, that you were also promoting that?
Well, you know, when I look back nearly a quarter of a century now that I've been on this road, it's obvious that I'm doing it not by random chance, but because for some reason I came into this reality to do this. And I think there are very large numbers of people who are here now, in the only now, really, but in the way that we perceive time, who have come specifically to make a contribution to a transformation of human awareness. And I see it in some ways differently to the usual, you know, explanation of what's happening. But the theme I completely agree with. It's now 22 years since I walked into a psychic's front room when I was a national spokesman for the Green Party and a national news and sports presenter with the BBC, not telling her why I went, but just going and seeing what it would happen, because very strange things had been happening to me for a year while I'd been going about those other jobs, in that if I was in a room alone, it didn't feel like I was alone. It felt like there was something there. Mm. And through 1989, this got more and more tangible until I was sitting in a hotel in London called the Kensington Hilton when I was working for the BBC. And it was so powerful in the room that I just said, because I knew nothing about the stuff at the time, I just said into the room, "Would you know, if there's something there, would you please contact me, because you'll drive me up the wall." And then, long story, won't go into it now, but I tell it in my books and I've done it in interviews as well. I ended up with this psychic to try to understand what was happening to me. I'd never been to a psychic before. And in the second and third time I went, and I went to get hands-on healing for arthritis, that's what she thought, and that was true in a way, but I wanted to see if she would pick something up while I was there. And in the second and third visits, second and third of four, she did, and suddenly she's telling me that she is being told to tell me that I'm going to go out on a world stage and reveal great secrets, that there was a story that had to be told, that there was a great awakening coming, a vibrational change, which I dubbed in my first book Truth Vibrations, which it said would bring to the surface all that had been hidden from humanity, and that would act like a spiritual alarm clock and would wake humanity up from its coma, from its amnesic state. And at the time, of course, Filippo, there was no evidence of that whatsoever. But, you know, 22 years later, look at it. We now understand infinitely more about how the world's manipulated and to what end than we did before. And, of course, there are more and more people opening their minds to a new version of self and the world that you would never have believed that have gone down that road, even a very short time ago now, some of the people that are beginning to open their minds today. So with the passage of the years, what I was told all that time ago, right at the start of this, it turned out to be true. And what then happened is that my life became this extraordinary synchronistic series of so-called coincidences, which led me to information, documents, people, personal experiences, books, and endless different sources, which were very clearly, by the unbelievable synchronicity of the information, it was coming to me almost, and continues to do, almost in the ideal order for me to be able to grasp it and put it into place in the greater picture, in the jigsaw puzzle. And so it's gone on, and it's still going on. And I'm writing a new book now. I had an amazing experience in Peru 21 years ago in February 1991, which was just extraordinary, what people would call paranormal experiences, but it happened. And I went back in April for my 60th birthday with a group, and went around those places again, and others too. And again, amazing things happened. And one of them was that one morning, it's very early, it's about 4 o'clock in the morning, we've got a very early start to get a train to get to, funny enough, to Machu Picchu in Peru that day. And I'm in the bathroom, and I walked out the bathroom, everything was fine, and I walked into the main part of the hotel room, and suddenly I couldn't walk straight. And I was veering to the left like a drunk. And for a few seconds, I'm thinking, you know, it was so sudden and so weird that it didn't really register immediately what the heck was happening. And then I stopped And I thought, what just happened? And I tried to walk straight again, consciously tried to walk straight, and veered away to the left. And I did this for about 3 or 4 minutes. I couldn't walk straight. It was like, you know, my left leg was shorter than my right. Mm. And I then started to feel quite ill. And I thought, I've got to get to the bed. And I went to walk towards the bed as best I could. And as I went to walk towards the bed, it went as fast as it came. And I stood there, totally bewildered, thinking, what just happened? And this voice in my head, clear as anything, said, we've just flipped your brain. You're not going to decode reality the same anymore. Mm. And I'm thinking, what? And then for the next, it must have been an hour and a half, as I went down to breakfast in a daze and then on the bus and train to Machu Picchu, that I wasn't in this reality. I was sitting, you know, with people at the breakfast table explaining what had just happened, and they weren't in the same dimension that I was in terms of my point of attention. Mm. I was looking into this world. And since that moment, I frankly haven't decoded reality in the same way. It is shifting, and I came back and sat down to write a book, and it just poured out. It was almost as I'm writing it, still doing it, been doing it all day, it's almost as if the book's already written and I'm just typing it out. So this journey continues, and it's leading somewhere. But what this long period and 50-odd countries of travel have shown me, Filippo, is you've got to put the tapestry together. You've got to put the strands together to form the tapestry before you can really appreciate what's happening and therefore how we can do something about it. Because I never talk or rarely talk about the global conspiracy without talking about the nature of reality and the spiritual nature of who we are, because you can't A, understand one without the other, and B, you can't do anything about one without the other. In terms of, you know, if you try to deal with what's happening in the world from a purely five sense perception, then you're going to go round and round. And in the same way, you know, if you are an expert on 9/11 and banking scams and political scams and manipulated wars, and I do all of that stuff and have done for all this period, but if you only do that, then you're still walking around the outer rim of the rabbit hole. You've not entered it yet. Mm. Because to understand how deep the rabbit hole goes and where this world that we think we're daily experiencing comes from, you have to understand at least the themes of the nature of reality itself, because this world that we think we're experiencing is like a holographic movie screen. Mm. When it hits the movie screen, it's a done deal. And you're not going to change a done deal. You know, if you go to a movie theater and you don't like the film, you're not going to change the film by standing on the stage hurling abuse at the screen. Because the movie's hit the screen, it's edited, everything's in place, it's a done deal. You ain't going to change it. You have to find where the movie's coming from and change it at source. And in the movie theater analogy, you go back and find the projector, change the reel. But we have to understand where this is coming from, this holographic movie that we think is so-called physical life. And when we do that, then we've got a chance of turning it around, which we are going to. And in fact, this awakening that's unfolding is all part of the changing, turning it around. It's not reached a critical mass point yet, or a point of knowledge where we can change this nonsense in its entirety. But it's certainly we are walking the road towards that very fast now, increasingly.
I'm glad to hear that. In your opinion, I'm glad. You know, and before we get into more of that, I was trying to find an analogy that worked for me about your further understanding. And I was thinking of You know how when we're children, we think we can get something done and have our parents not know what we're doing, and then they'll say, you can't do that, or you don't. And how do you know that? Well, as an adult now, as I look at children and I see it's obvious what they're doing, and I did nothing but grow up. And now as an adult, I can see. Of course, we're not talking different dimensions here, but even within the same dimension, I see the world differently than I did as a child. So there are different levels just in this dimension already, and now you're bringing in the other dimensions and saying, and if you look at it from another dimension, there's even more going on.
Yeah, because the foundation of the global conspiracy is to pull human perception, the point of attention, into the five senses alone, and isolate that point of attention within what I call body mind, which is the what we call the physical body. Actually, it's a hologram, and the energy fields in the auric field that I call mind. But what we are, our eternal self, our infinite self, is consciousness, a term that I use for that which is beyond mind body. And if you are isolated in your point of attention, and that's what we are really, Filippo, in my view, we're a point of attention. You know, people talk about we are infinite consciousness, we are infinite awareness, we are all that is, has been, and ever can be. And you know, people say, well, how can you be all that is and ever can be? Well, because what creation, not creation, because that's the expression of it, what eternal existence is a situation where we are one infinite ocean. But within that infinite ocean, we are a unique point of attention. And where your point of attention is within that ocean depicts your sense of perspective, your sense of perception, your sense of what is. Mm-hmm. Now, you can have a point of attention that is so embedded in the five senses that when you are asked, or whether you ask yourself, who am I, where am I, you reply, I'm Ethel Jones, I work in the store and come from Philadelphia. But that's not who you are. That's what you are experiencing. Mm. But you can also have a point of attention within infinite awareness, within which you are experiencing through the five senses. You are in this world, if you like, but you are also within that point of attention aware that you are infinite consciousness having that experience. So you are in this world in terms of your five sense interaction with it, but you're not of this world in terms of your entire perception of reality. Now, someone in that state will see themselves and world events and their daily experiences in a completely different way, more expanded way, more I can see how the dots connect way, than someone who is almost entirely focused in terms of that point of attention within the five senses. Now, the idea of the conspiracy is to do the latter, because you cannot manipulate and impose your will on even one person, never mind vast numbers of people, who are in this world but not of its state, because they can see you, they'll suss you very quickly. It's an open book to that state of awareness. But you can manipulate large numbers of people, and they do, who have been manipulated into the five sense version of reality alone, because the human hologram is, I would suggest, a biological computer. Even some mainstream scientists are starting to go down this road now. It's a biological computer, and by biological, I mean it doesn't just react to input like a desktop computer, and then you press enter and it does what the program tells it. It has the ability to assess information and make decisions on it. This is what the immune system's doing all the time. You know, we're not telling the immune system to go and sort that problem out in your left knee or your left arm. It does it because it's aware and is making decisions. And the body's like that. And it's a vehicle. But if you know what you're doing and you know how it works, you can program it. You can program it like a computer to decode reality to fit your agenda. And it has astonished me, not anymore, I kind of understand what's going on, but it astonished me when I started traveling the world and I saw different cultures, different races, different kinds of people, different echelons of society. And yet you give them, you know, a certain situation, many situations, and it is like watching a computer press enter because they react the same. They respond the same. It's like a program. And then people like Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist, and other psychologists have said that they can break down human personalities into 12 major archetypes and combinations of them and other various sub-archetypes. Well, how can you do that with infinite awareness, all possibility, all that is, has been, and ever can be? You can't, but you can do it with a computer program, which you program with certain perception programs, emotional response programs, and you can then be pretty confident that they'll react in certain ways to the situations you present them with. And so most people in the world, because of the way the system is structured, are herded into that box. We talk about people being in the box. Well, what is the box? The box is the five senses, and the box is even more accurately, the left side of the brain, which sees everything as apart from everything else, which loves structure, which loves hierarchical structures of power, and cannot see how everything connects because it can't see how the dots connect. It can only see the dots. And when you come into this world, Filippo, you first of all are faced, not in every case, no, but in the vast majority of cases, you are faced with parents who have been through the system that you're about to go through, right, and have been programmed with a certain version of self and the world and what you should do and how we should be what life should be lived and all this stuff. And not from a malevolent point of view sometimes, but not often from a malevolent point of view, but those parents then impose their programming upon the children on the basis that they've been persuaded that what they don't think is programming, but it is the best for the child. The child then goes to a small school and then a bigger school and then probably onto college or university. And teachers of various levels and then academics and professors and all this stuff tell them a version of reality that their parents have been told, the version of reality that suits the system. And you get a certain myopic view of possibility of yourself. You've got scientists telling you you're just a cosmic accident, you know, and it's all an accident. You don't go on after death. There's no eternity. Therefore, there's no point. You've got religions telling you, as an alternative, that you are subordinate to some loving God who actually wants to do horrific things if you don't do what he says, and it's always a bloke. And so on and so forth. And then you've got your peers who are confirming this version of reality upon you because they've been through or are going through the same programming that you are. Right. Every time you turn on the mainstream media, in any of its expressions virtually, this myopic limitation of possibility and sense of self in the world is being confirmed. And it's like, you know, the Nazis understood. Repetition is a magnificent vehicle for mind control. You just keep telling people the same thing and eventually they believe it. And they say things like, everyone knows that. No, everyone doesn't know that. And everyone has not been programmed to know that, but vast numbers of people have, and you're one of them. And therefore, people go through life in this narrow band of frequency of the five senses, almost infinitesimal band of frequency that scientists call visible light. And they have this limited little me sense of self, this powerless sense of self overwhelmingly, and they're good little slaves for the rest of their lives. In fact, they're so enslaved they don't think they're slaves. And this is how the few, and the only way the few can control the many. The few can't control people physically. They can do it in small areas with tanks in the streets and soldiers at the door, but they can't do it, you know, globally, 7 billion people and more. They have to do it by programming the perception of that 7 billion so that they will behave in a way that suits the agenda. And you know, we have this situation where we laugh at sheep for following the one in front and following the shepherd and succumbing to the fear of the sheepdog.
Right.
But humans have outsheeped the sheep, because at least the sheep do need a sheepdog to keep them in line. We keep each other in line, because once the programming is in there, then people defend the programming. You know, there's that great line in The Matrix where the Morpheus character says about, you know, most people are so programmed, basically, so inert that they fight to protect that which is programming them. And of course, that's what troops do and what have you all the time. But the situation is that once we're in that state, then the few can control the many, and the many then police the others who are saying, hold on a second, I don't accept this. You can't do that. You can't say that. Oh, you, what do you mean you want to go walking in India? Your mother wants you to be a banker. Well, if my mother wants me to work in a bank, she should go work in a bank. I'm going to walk in India. Thank you very much. And putting all this together, Filippo, I do it under a term that I wrote in a book a long time ago, psychological fascism. It's imposing the will, your will, upon other people. And once we succumb to living our lives on the basis of what the norms policed by the masses say we must believe, how we must live them, then we're no longer expressing our unique individual expression of all that is. We're now not living our life even. We're living someone else's version of what our life should be. And this is another great part of this, and why one of the greatest fears that people have is the fear of what other people think of them.
Right.
And this fear of what other people think is psychologically the soldiers at the door, at the gateway to expansion of consciousness, expansion of expression of self, because you fear what other people will say and do if you express your uniqueness. I would say this: if people cannot respect your right to be the unique you, then why on earth are you concerned what they think of you if they don't have that basic respect for your right to express your own unique self? And it's this breaking out of this box of fear of what other people think that is so important if we're going to break out of the box of manipulation, control, suppression, and five sense enslavement. It's this fear of what other people think that is right in the front line of keeping us there.
Yeah, and it's interesting that I started out the show with talking about my small world of people that were trying to keep me working in a job that I wasn't interested in or happy in, and stopping me from following my joy, which was singing at the time. So, and here we are, almost full circle. And it brings to mind a couple questions, and one in particular that I've been wanting to ask a guest for many months, but hasn't been the right guest, and I believe you are. And I will ask that question when we come back with David Icke right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back, and our guest today is David Icke, who's an English writer, a public speaker, and a former media personality, and actually so much more. If you like what you're hearing so far, you can learn more about him, connect on his newsletter, read his blogs, all at his website at davidicke.com. That's David, I-C-K-E.com. He has a big event coming up, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later. It's called Remember Who You Are. It's going to be at Wembley Arena in London, October 27th. 2012. As a matter of fact, it's so close to December 21st, 2012 that it begs the question, 2012, is that the end of the world? And David Icke says, no, 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 this is just the beginning. I want to remind you also of his many books and the one that he just finished, or it just came out like 3 months ago. Remember Who You Are is groundbreaking, life-changing, and the cutting edge is moved by a giant leap. So learn more about all of that at davidicke.com. And you can get tickets through Ticketmaster for the event at Wembley. So, David, before the break, I said that there was a burning question, one in particular that I've had for many guests, but I haven't felt they were the right ones who had the answer, and I believe you might have a good one, at least for me and for our audience. And the question is this. So much talk, whether it's Nassim Haramein or even in the movie Thrive and with Foster Gamble explaining the Taurus and all of that. And so things have cycles and planets go around and the energies affect each other and all of that stuff. And the dawning of the age of Aquarius, planets lining up and all of that. So could it be, or is it, that the forces that you talk about were doing their job, and now you and us and others are doing our job, because the planets are aligning for now this to happen. And a quick analogy would be, you know, isn't there, like in Indian tradition, the destroyer and the creator? And when we build a sandcastle, we enjoy building it, but then we also enjoy destroying it. So are we coming out of a time where somebody has enjoyed destroying the sandcastle, and now it's our time to help people rebuild?
Well, I don't kind of see it like that. I do understand the context, but, you know, I think if we are going to awaken, we have to remember that prime reality is that we are infinite consciousness, all that is, has been, and ever can be. Everything else is an illusion, and literally a physical illusion, a provable fact. The fabric of this universe is waveform, waveform information, what some people call vibration. And the five senses decode that waveform information into electrical information, which is then communicated to the brain. And the brain decodes that. It's all the same information in different forms, like passing information between different people, the same information between different people wearing different clothes. And the brain takes the electrical information and turns it into digital and holographic information, which is the so-called physical world that we see around us. This is why quantum physics, when it's gone deep into the nature of energy and reality, have found that actually nothing is physical and there is no physical. They say that this reality is made of atoms, but atoms have no solidity. So clearly it can't make a solid world. It's that what they call atoms are just energetic expressions of the decoding process. And people who have had strokes and stayed conscious while it's been going on in the left side of the brain particularly, have said how reality suddenly changed, how they saw reality as like pixels. Well, that's the digital level of it, which was very, very well symbolized in The Matrix. When Neo overcame death, he started seeing the world not as the normal physical way, but in a digital form. He was actually tuning into another level of this universal multi-level construct. And so we are focusing on cycles and happenings and planets moving around within a construct, within an illusory physical reality, which is a place to experience, but it's not the real thing in the sense that it's a creation rather than an infinite always will be. I've only taken psychoactive drugs once in my life, over 2 days in Brazil in a rainforest in 2003, where I took something called ayahuasca. And I had amazing experiences. Some people have bad experiences, but I think, you know, to a large extent, these things take you to where you already are, just another level of them. And I, on the second night, had this, for 5 hours, had this very clear female voice, this is the way I decoded it, talking for 5 hours, like I say, about the nature of reality and how the physical world is illusory. And one of the things that it said right at the start to me was, there's really only one thing you need to know. Infinite love is the only truth. Everything mm-hmm. else is illusion. And so what I call consciousness in its true infinite expression is infinite love, infinite intelligence. This is why the greatest intelligence is through the heart, not through the brain, because it connects us to that level of innate intelligence rather than learned intelligence. This is why intuition knows through the heart, whereas the brain has to think and work it out. Thought is a very low level of awareness compared with knowing, and that's the heart. And in so many ways, the basis of the conspiracy over thousands of years in the way we perceive time has been to move humanity from a heart-centered society in which we interacted primarily with reality through the heart to the belly chakras of emotion and sexuality. And it's pulled us into, I mean, if you look at the way that people react to life these days, it's overwhelmingly not from the heart, unless they're awakening people or of that kind. It's from emotional reaction. It's from the belly. People say, what does your heart tell you? But how many people these days say, what does your gut tell you? Mm. What's your gut reaction, not your heart reaction? These are all subconscious expressions of where the reaction's coming from. And so we live in a belly chakra society overwhelmingly these days. And what this transformation is moving that point of attention, here we go again, from those lower belly emotional sexual chakras into the heart. So we return to being a heart-centered society, which would transform this world because of the perceptions and interactions that would come from it. Wow. So I think people get too focused, again, because of the domination of the five senses, on what is happening in what they perceive as the physical world, you see, which isn't physical. Because I talked earlier, Filippo, about the fact that this is a done deal. It's like a holographic movie. That's the holographic level of this decoding of these different levels of information. Where it's coming from is the information construct, the waveform. Thus, that's where it has to change. And that means going to that waveform level of self and changing there, and then we change the projector, and therefore we change the movie that we're experiencing. And when you look at planets moving around, if you go back to the waveform, the energetic, if you like, it's all energy, but energetic as we understand it, then what those planets are information fields. And those information fields are interacting with the greater information field of the solar system, the cosmos. And depending on where they are and depending where they are in relation to each other, they are impacting their individual and collective information, what they call conjunctions and all this stuff, upon the field. And that field is what we're interacting with all the time. So that's how we're affected by the planets. It changes the information, and therefore it changes the way we interact with the universal field and within the universe, within the created reality. And so when you enter this reality, you take on one level an energy field that reflects this energy field as it was in that moment. And thus, as you go through your cycle of life and what have you, you are going to interact with the changing planetary impacts and influences of that universal field in a different way to someone who came into it at a different point and therefore took on a different expression of that field. This is where astrology influences your life. But the consciousness, the true self, the infinite self, is capable of overriding all of this stuff. It can override cycles, it can override astrological influences and all the rest of it. And to a very large extent, the more you get pulled into the five senses, the more you become influenced and directed by the forces within this constructed reality rather than that which is the greater power beyond it. So if we try to work it all out through the five senses, it's like standing at a movie screen trying to work it all out. You're not going to do it. You've got to go into those deeper levels of self where the information lies that can give you the insights and the knowing to understand what the five senses can't understand. But once you start to do that, you change the way you perceive reality. You change the way you perceive yourself. You start acting and speaking and expressing yourself in a different way. And those that are still in the five senses then are on your case immediately. They think you're mad, bad, or crazy. You're not. You're actually, you're not insane when you go through this awakening. You're not going insane, you're going sane, for goodness sake. And when you look at this world, I was talking to a mainstream journalist, rather frustrating experience, but I did just before this interview, and I was saying to him, you know, look at the unbelievable numbers of people who are now homeless, who are without employment, that were without a livelihood, that are without food. Look at the people who starve in a world of plenty. Look at how the high-tech little boys in their planes are pepper bombing whole cities of civilians on the claim that they're protecting them. I mean, this world is absolutely insane. It's insane. And once you realize it's insane, then you can find it very much easier to live with it. It's when you're trying to explain insanity away as some kind of sanity, that's when you get bewildered, confused, and get lost. Hey, bottom line, this reality that we experience through the conscious mind is utterly insane, okay? Therefore, it's not you that's insane when you think differently to it. It's it that's insane. And it's a confirmation of your sanity if this insanity sees you as insane. Take it as a compliment. Because if it sees you as sane, then you've got a big problem, mate. You know? And it, you know, when you because what I used to use this phrase years ago. Take a deep breath. Take a step back. Look at it again. Because we can get so pulled into situations. You know, like we're looking at everything through a microscope and we can't see the bigger picture. And when you stop and you take a deep breath and you look at it again dispassionately, you see it in a different way. Well, when you open your mind to consciousness and let that in, that's what you're doing. Your point of attention is now moving from almost totally from the five sense level of perception, and it's moving out through mind into consciousness. And so now you have another fix, you have another point of reference on what's going on in the world, and suddenly it ain't the same anymore in your perception. And then we come back, because everything connects. The longer we talk, everything connects, because everything is one in the end, to the fear of what other people think. So many people are coming to this awareness, hey, it's crazy. I'm not crazy. It's crazy. But they don't do anything about it because they fear the reaction of people who are in the crazy world and think it's sane in terms of how they'll respond to them. We have to get through this this fear. Otherwise, we're going to be, instead of unaware of the prison that we live in, we're going to be aware of it. And instead of being unaware of it, we're actually going to consciously watch it being built around us. Mm. I think there's the next step. There's the next step beyond that, which is, okay, I've been given the gift of seeing what's happening. Now what do I do about it? And this is the next stage of this transformation, is going from ignorance of what's going on to some awareness of what's going on to actually some impact upon what is going on. And that's the next stage that we need to go through.
And you are certainly doing all that you can in your view of how of what can be done. And one of the things that you are doing, besides the books and the speaking tours, you are doing this big event, probably something like never before. I'm sure never heard of anything like this before. It's called Remember Who You Are. Unfortunately, we have about 5 more minutes in our time together, but I do want to let people know about this. It sounds fascinating. Please tell us about it.
Well, the reason I called my last book, my recent book, Remember Who You Are, and I've called this event Remember Who You Are, is because that is the revolution, Filippo. You know, we don't need to stockpile weapons and all the rest of it, which is what the five sense response to this is, because it can't see any other. We need to remember who we are, move our point of attention from purely body-mind into consciousness, and bingo, everything follows from that. From that, you know what your contribution is and how to make it. You see what's happening that you couldn't see before. You lose the fear of not expressing that. All these things come from being entering a level of consciousness, and it's quite simple. You open your mind to all possibility rather than editing and censoring possibility by preconceived idea. It's that simple. So I wanted to, and it's a big financial risk, because, I mean, you know, Wembley Arena, they want a heck of a lot of money a long time before the event. In fact, sure. It's already been paid. It's not until October. But I go by intuition. I do everything on intuition. And my intuition, and it's not let me down so far. It may have seemed to have done at different points in the unfolding of that intuition, but with the benefit of the outcome, it's not.
I'm sorry to laugh, but
I know I'm laughing myself thinking about it. But because there have been times in my life when I've thought, "What on earth is going on? What have I done? What is happening?" And then you keep going. You don't give up and walk away. You keep going, and eventually you see, so that was it was all about. Good outcome, like it. Anyway, I wanted to have a gathering of people, a large gathering, in 2012, not because I go along with the 2012 version of end of the world and all this stuff. There is a transformation going on, but it's ongoing. It's not all going to happen in 1 minute, in 1 month, in 1 week, in 1 year. But I wanted to, towards the end of 2012, get a gathering of people together if they chose to come. And this Wembley Arena is in London. It's in North London, and it's London is a major center of the global energy grid. It really is. That's why these secret societies and families behind them actually congregate in London. This is why we had the British Empire out of London, because you know they are the same families that are behind it that were the families behind the Roman Empire, and still you know Rome is a massive center for this globally. So we have had through this summer this we can maybe do it talk about this in another interview because it's very important how the so-called celebration of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee and then the Olympic Games following it on. As I explain in articles and anyone who wants to know, these are gigantic rituals to lock down the energy system of London and the wider world, therefore, because the London's like a heart center, or British Isles is like a heart center. This is why there's so many stone circles, more standing stones than stone circles per square mile in Britain, especially down the western side, than anywhere else in the world per square mile. And I wanted to make this statement by gathering large numbers of people together of like mind, of open heart, not just to say, hey, look, there's a massive awakening happening here. Look at these people. Look at them from all walks of life, all colors, creeds, and backgrounds, and income brackets. Look, what connects these people? An open mind, an open heart, an awareness that the world's not like they thought it was. And also that gathering together of open-hearted, open-minded people, and the delivery over what will be 9 hours of 1,500 illustrations and music and all the rest of it will be the information on multi levels of the conspiracy, the nature of reality, the spiritual awakening, and all that stuff, all being delivered in this energy field. And as we speak, we are influencing the energy field and impacting upon it, because what is speech? It's a vibration, and an information field called vibration, and get them together to make a massive energetic impact, as well as communicate information and the fact that there's an awakening going on. And the maximum we can get into Wembley Arena is 11,000. Whether we'll get there is quite another thing. But we have the choice, and we have to make it in August, of a 5,500 setup, which we'll get to comfortably, 7,500 or 11,000. And the interest will decide what that setup will be. But I mean, even 5,500 people together will make a big impact. 11,000 would be extraordinary. So that's what we're doing. And it's to make an impact, not just in communication, not just in awareness that something's happening here. What it is exactly clear. Well, it's becoming clearer, as the 60s song said, but also make an energetic impact upon this crucial point in the global energy grid. Because, you know, when I've talked to former Satanists and those that have, against their will, taken part and experienced satanic ritual, one of the things they say that this satanic global network is about is targeting the key points on the global energy grid to encode and implant at those points very low vibrational energy and information fields, which then go out and influence the entire Earth energy field, which we're interacting with 24/7. And, you know, we can reverse that because, you know, the low vibrational emotions of hatred, of anger, and all that stuff, electromagnetically are two stone weaklings compared with the energy of the heart. What we call love, its true sense, fantastically more powerful. And the answers are there. We open our hearts, we change the world. We close our hearts, we get the world we have now. I think it's time to open our hearts again, Filippo.
Wow. What an ending to a great show. I'm there.
Been a pleasure, mate.
I'm opening my heart, and thank you for making an impact and sharing this information and time with us.
It's a pleasure, Filippo. I must do it again. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, I enjoyed it as well, and I look forward to what the listeners have to say, because I look forward also to the conversation that happens as people start to awaken. And some of that might be people saying, oh, you can't believe all that. And that, I think the people that get involved in that conversation are at least getting involved. How do you feel about that, David?
Well, you know, the conspiracy wants human awareness to stagnate. Anything that makes it vibrate beyond that standing wave state is a good thing. And sometimes, you know, people find what they need to find through different means. And, you know, sometimes it's the challenges in life and the disagreements in life that can lead you down that path. I mean, I look at the tremendous challenges I've had in my life, which were really, you know, unpleasant in the moment. But I look back and they gave me so much. Mm. They gave me so much. And we are what we are at any point in the now because of the sum total of all that we have experienced, the good stuff, the bad stuff, as we perceived it, and the bits in between. And, you know, we're not who we are because of the nice things that we experience only. We are through who we are because of all the things we experience. The trick is seeing the positive in the apparently unpleasant, because it's there. I mean, whatever, you know, people say, oh, made a mistake. No, you didn't. You had an experience. You're calling it a mistake. You're labeling it a mistake because that's the way you're told to think. But actually, it's an experience. Mm. And is it any different to an experience where you say, oh, I did it right? Well, no, it's just an experience. And all experience, whether we did it right or, oh, made a mistake, are actually have the same potential for awakening us. Because this is a point that I would stress. People say that they have to seek enlightenment. I'm seeking enlightenment. Well, that's a waste of time, mate. Mm. Because if seeking enlightenment, you're always in a state of seeking it. You're never actually finding it. You are already enlightened. I would suggest the point of reference. You are already enlightened. You are already infinite awareness. All that is, has been, and ever can be, and that's as bad as it gets. It's not becoming enlightened, for want of a word, that is the challenge. It's removing all the programs, the belief systems, the preconceived ideas, the reflex action responses that we have been systematically given to download from the moment we enter this world. From all the sources that I've talked about and a lot more. They create what I call the bubble or the eggshell. It's an energetic, low vibrational state that disconnects you from a high vibrational state in the end, a no vibrational state that I call consciousness. So thus, it's not about being enlightened. You are enlightened. It's just that level of you that is enlightened is no longer influencing that which is experiencing this reality, because the eggshell, the layers of the onion skins of belief systems and preconceived ideas are blocking that influence. Mm. And therefore, to let that influence in, we call it opening our minds, is to let go of these preconceived ideas. Quite simple. Get yourself, symbolically or literally, a blank sheet of paper. Put aside all preconceived ideas and beliefs in everything, religious, scientific, academic, all of it, self-identity. And then from now on, that blank sheet of paper is going to be filled by what you feel is right, what your intuition tells you is right, what information that you are confident about leads you to know is right and believe is right, and you create on that blank sheet of paper your unique version of reality and what we call truth. Because the vast majority of what we call truth is belief. That's all it is. Infinite love is the only truth. Everything else is illusion. Everything else is that infinite awareness experiencing itself through different points of attention. That's what we are. That's what we're doing. And thus, you know, we should not get caught again in the five sense version of truth and all this stuff, because there is information you can put together which shows that these things here is happening and that's happening and this is happening, quite provable fact. But you know, how you put that together and what you make of it is your truth. You know, once we start to coalesce or coagulate around one of a few so-called truths, and this is what happens in this world through science and through religion and all these other things, we are disconnecting by definition from the true nature of self, which is all possibility. All that is, has been, and ever can be is another way of saying all possibility. And within all possibility, it has everything and nothing. It is and it isn't. It's everywhere and nowhere. You can't be everywhere and nowhere. You can't have everything and nothing. Yes, you can, and you must have, or it's not all possibility. And thus, we're playing with all possibility. Let's not get too het up and focused on one truth. I mean, this is the a wonderful example of it. People in religions, I mean, you know, God save us from religion, I say, but people in religions are told that all they need to know within all possibility, all that is, has been, and ever can be, is between the covers of one book, a Bible or a Quran or a Torah or, whatever it is. It's ridiculous. Again, deep breath. Take a step back. Look at it again. It's insane. It's insane. But of course it's insane. You know, the Gnostics, who I have a lot of time for, the Gnostic thinkers of the past, of what we call the past, like those that ran the Great Library at Alexandria and got slaughtered, like Hypatia, who was the head of it, because they were saying things that challenged the pathetic myopia of the Roman Church, which is a massive control system, part of the global grid. And the Cathars in southern France, who also got slaughtered because they were doing the same. There's a common theme about Gnostic thinkers, and that is that they tend to get slaughtered and their information destroyed. But in 1945 in Egypt, someone found under the ground sealed jar with these quite a lot of Gnostic texts in them. And they've been translated, and they're fascinating. They're absolutely fascinating. They talk about a force which they call the Archons, and an overall force of control and suppression they call the Demiurge. And what they call the Demiurge is what other people call Satan, Lucifer, the devil, what they call the Archons, the Islamic belief system, and indeed the pre-Islamic Arabian belief system called the Jinn. And you find the same theme in cultures all over the world under different names. And they talk about these Archons, Demiurge. They have the ability to manipulate human perception, and that's the only way they can manipulate, because they do not have the creative imagination, what they call intentionality, to create from a blank sheet of paper. They have to therefore take something that's already created and twist it and distort it. That's how they do it, and it's fascinating when you get into it, because my goodness me, it's so in sync with my work, it's unbelievable. Anyway, what they talk about is the fact that this Demiurge awareness, not a man or a figure, but awareness, and this Archon awareness that serves it, is, in our language, demented, utterly demented, utterly mad. Such is scale of its imbalance and distortion. And it's created, Filippo, through manipulating human perception, therefore human behavior and action, a holographic expression of itself, a world that is utterly bloody demented. And we can turn that round because we have the power to do that. And we will do that. We will do that. We're doing it already.
In a sense, it's like if we are all knowing and all of that, and we chose to come into this reality. So would it be like going to a party and saying, okay, this is the party, but it's a boring party, or it's not, you know, let's make it more fun, or I mean, because we chose this, right? Supposedly,
well, we did and we didn't. I mean. Some people did because they came into this reality from way out, and therefore they're making a conscious choice to do it. But if you are asked what political party you're going to vote for, or you're going to vote for the Republicans, or are you going to vote for the Democrats, and you are not aware that both parties are controlled by the same network of families, are you actually making a choice? Can that be decided as a choice? I don't think it can, because you're making a illusory choice. You think you're making a choice between A and B when A and B are actually the same thing. And you know, the more that I've gone down this journey and you know, worked to expand my own awareness and open my own heart to all this that is there to be accessed, and all the, if you like, five sense information that I've come across and put it all together, it seems to me that this control system operates not just in the realm of the five senses, the holographic so-called physical realm that the conscious mind experiences, but actually operates at other levels too. And it encompasses those levels of frequency on which what I call body-mind operates. So when we so-called die, what happens is that our point of attention can no longer experience through the body level of body-mind, because the operating system won't function, so you can't work through it. You know, you can't go on the internet when your computer don't work. So what happens at that point for people who are still in some serious stage of suppressed awareness, their point of attention at what we call death doesn't exist, transition, moves from, in my view, body-mind into mind. But they're still in the multi-level matrix of manipulation and control. When you are your point of attention while in a so-called embodiment is from five sense reality through to what I call consciousness beyond mind, then when you leave the body, your point of attention moves from body through mind into consciousness, and you're out of here. And it seems to me that this whole concept, which comes from the East, of reincarnation and how it says that you have to work through many, many, many lifetimes to no longer need to reincarnate, is actually a load of flipping nonsense. I think it's a trap.
Oh, good.
And I think that what is happening is you're moving from body-mind into mind, and mind is still in the matrix, still in the multi-level matrix of manipulation, which is what? Perception manipulation. And then you move back through what they call reincarnation, back into body-mind through another body computer. And it's to an extent, you can say that the more you experience this world, perhaps, the more you will start to understand that it's flipping insane and it's a nonsense. It's a construct, and it's manipulated, and that you are infinite awareness, and thus you can get out of here by moving that point of attention. Therefore, you no need to reincarnate in the language of the East, but you can also get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into it. One of the things that happened to me, Filippo, when I was in that ayahuasca state with a female voice in 2003 in the Brazilian rainforest, is at one point I was shown field, just a country field with a path across it, like a soil path. And then as this continued, people started dropping out of the air onto this path and started walking along it. And as they were walking along it in greater and greater numbers, they wore it down, and they got lower and lower. And then suddenly it morphed into one of the old plastic record discs, with the stylus.
Uh-huh.
And now people are walking along the grooves in the dark in this stylus. And this voice said to me, is it any wonder that people look up for heaven when it's the only place where they can see light? And it went on to explain that people are so easily programmable because they're coming in after being through the programming before in its various expressions. And thus, they lock into the program like a stylus locking into a groove, and the groove. Mm. And so for me, and this will maybe bring us round to a nice conclusion of what we've been talking about, because we talked earlier about 2012 and the transformation and the Mayans and all that stuff. I don't see this, what is happening, Filippo, as part of a cycle. I don't. And that's not what I was led to see it as 22 years ago when it all started, as some kind of natural cycle where we're moving from one world to another and all that stuff. I don't see that. Mm. What is happening, I would suggest, is there is an energetic intervention going on specifically to break humanity out of this collective and individual amnesia, to break up this multi-level matrix, including the reincarnation, if you like, levels of it, and actually bring an end to this blooming nonsense so we can go back to experiencing this reality as it was before. Which was a reality where you consciously came in to experience it. You remembered who you were while you were doing it. You were in this world and of it as a matter of course. You were coming from the heart in terms of your point of interaction with it, because you were in full awareness of that you were consciousness and the nature of the heart, and the heart is who you are. Everything else is just, a detail. And it was a very different experience. And it was hijacked, and it was hijacked by those who understand how reality works, but have no sense of heart, no sense of compassion, no sense of empathy with their targets, and thus they've created that world of where empathy is lacking in so many people around the world. But it's changing, and it's starting to break up, and everybody that awakens and opens their mind to any extent will start to vibrate at a different frequency. That's what happens when you do this. And as you vibrate to a different frequency, you're impacting upon the energetic field, the collective field, and you are influencing that to vibrate differently. And as that vibrates differently, in other words, different information fields and perceptions and whatever you are impacting upon it, they're starting to affect other people. Spontaneously you start to be influenced by that, and they start vibrating differently, like entrainment, like when you put a violin in with two or three violins playing to a certain note, that other violin will start to vibrate to the same frequency. And this is what this transformation is about. And this is why it doesn't have a one day, one hour, in one month, in one year. It's a process, and it's getting more and more powerful, exactly as I was told 22 years ago it would. And I'm now seeing it impacting upon people in terms of them reassessing their perception of reality and their perception of self, on people who you would have said a very short time ago, never him, never her, not in this lifetime. People in the system are starting to reassess the way they're seeing it. And so it's a very exciting time. And it's not a coincidence that at the same time this is happening, the control system is throwing everything at us to manipulate and distort us on all levels of being. They're doing it through electromagnetic pollution, radiation pollution, food and drink chemical additives, which in their base form are a distorted waveform information field, through HAARP, this in Alaska, which is bouncing radio waves off the ionosphere in the upper atmosphere and back to us, more radiation, thank you very much, much appreciated. And all these things, the control system, all of it is being done. The wars and the economic collapses and the impact upon people of that is designed to destabilize us and disharmonize us mentally, emotionally, by the impact that those economic disasters are having upon people in fear and worry and all that stuff. This is all being done at this time of great awakening to try to head off the awakening. It can slow it down a little. It can't head it off, because the immovable object that thinks it is, the control system, is now coming face to face with the irresistible force, which is this vibrational information energetic awakening. And we are in the cusp of that, and we've chosen to be here. Lots of us anyway have absolutely consciously chosen to be here to experience this. And I wouldn't want to be anyone else doing anything else, being anywhere else in all eternity than being where I am now experiencing it. Because this is just a great time to see this thing come to an end at last, and the insanity be replaced by balance, which is another word for sanity. Harmony and balance, sanity. That's where sanity comes from.
David, you are incredible, and true to your book, tagline, remember who you are, groundbreaking and life changing. This is a groundbreaking show for us. This is the first time an interview has gone on more than an hour, and not only has it gone on, but we had not only the blessing, but the encouragement of BBS Radio and the engineer sending us a message saying, "It's okay. Let him go. This is fascinating. My favorite interview. Keep going." So thank you for continuing to share as you did.
Well, like I said about 3 hours ago, it's been a pleasure. Do it again.
All right. Well, I think we just did, but I think we'll do it again and again, and I look forward to it. Thank you so much for being with us and taking the time in the middle of writing or dictating or however it is that's coming through you, your new book. That, do you have a title for it yet, by the way?
I have one, but it's not necessarily the final one.
Okay. Well, we look forward to that, and hopefully we'll talk when that is complete. In the meantime, many blessings and thank you.
Same to you, Filippo. Thank you very much. Bye.
Good night. This has been, as the book says, groundbreaking and a life-changing show, and been a lot of fun. And it's great to have spoken to David in person and have him share all this information with us. And for those who want to learn more, you can go to davidicke.com. That's I-C-K-E.com. If you want to go to the Wembley event. Remember who you are. The tickets are on Ticketmaster, and you can also learn about that. And many other things, many, many other things at davidicke.com.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us,
corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back, and this is our producer's wrap with producer Mark Lejeure and I after a great special edition interview with David Icke. Mark, what a way to celebrate the 4th of July weekend with a bang.
Yeah, no kidding. What a great extended discussion. Really opened the door to some interesting discussions for us and for our listeners.
Yeah, interesting to say the least. Boy, he goes way out there, and we didn't even touch on the way out there part.
Well, that's what's interesting. Of course, David, you know, obviously touches some pretty controversial subjects, but, you know, he does that and yet comes right back at you with the science as to explain the why. And that's what's interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, recently there's been some controversy about him having been in the Thrive movie and Thrive being so you know, scientific and so accurate on so many things in some people's mind. And then David Icke kind of puts it out there. And ironically, he wasn't even out there in the movie, but people say, well, but he also believes these other things. Well, a lot of people believe all kinds of different things, and yet they still are heads of state and heads of companies. And, you know,
it's the funny thing, the ego, because everything is weird until it becomes normal. And, you know, there was a time when people were fearful of sailing too far because the world was flat and you would fall off the end.
Right.
Now, how is that any more crazy than anything that David has ever said? So if you go into the what if category and you just have fun with it and you explore the possibilities, that's when I kind of get excited and I start looking at some of what he says on the scientific side. Forget the conspiracy side, but look at his science. Look at the five sense perception and the decoding reality. I think that's where it gets really interesting.
You know, actually, I agree with you. And yet I find it all interesting, too, because, when it's out there, like sci-fi, it's like, what do I know? A lot of sci-fi may actually be true. And yet we're looking at it as saying, well, that's a nice story or fantasy. And when then we start to find out, wow, we could actually do some of these things that sci-fi has been talking about for years.
Well, I think there's two points on that. One is, you know, there's those same conspiracy theorists would say that sci-fi is actually a tool for disillusionment, for mind bending, because you would take the truth if you put it out there as fiction, then people would automatically believe that it's not possible or not true. But the other side of that is the fact that a lot of the science fiction. That was science fiction. I guess you can even go back and look at the Jetsons, which isn't so sci-fi, but you know, there's a lot of science now that is becoming real, that is becoming everyday life, or that, is it art imitating life, life imitating art? Where did the technology come from? What did or didn't we know back then that we know now? It's interesting.
You know, the Jetsons actually is a really good example because, you know, when Mrs. Jetson, what was her name, Jane or something? When she would go into the kitchen and turn on the phone, it would be this big TV screen and you could see each other. Well, back when we were kids, that was just fantasy. No one thought of Skype at least not me, not people I knew. And then the robot running around. There are robots running around now. And back then, that was just pure fantasy.
Exactly. And then you look at, you know, the Star Wars and the Force and Star Trek and, you know, Dr. Kaku, Michio Kaku is an advisor. And of course, he's all over television today, but he was an early advisor to the Star Trek series and to a lot of the crystalline technologies, the power sources, the alternative energy, the warp drive and time travel and all of these other aspects. And then you take it into some of the more modern ones, you know, Avatar. What an interesting idea. We talk about spirit inhabiting the body. Well, it was Avatar, and people understood that, and it was relatable. They could understand how it's possible. Well, what is possible, and what is spirit inhabiting the body? What if the physical body is simply a tool, going back to what David Icke says, for decoding reality, decoding this holographic universe? We agree that we're atoms. We agree atoms are energy. We agree atoms are energy, which is vibration. And if everything is vibration, then we are simply using this tool to decode the reality that is, in essence, our perception of that vibration.
Yeah, wouldn't it be fun in a way to actually think of life that way?
Well, it certainly takes a lot of the seriousness out of what we perceive to be right or wrong or good or bad. And if you can do it, and I think it takes some practice, because the challenging part is all of these thoughts that we're talking about are attached to the chemical and emotional, or the chemical reactions that take place because of the emotional responses that that come up because we're humans and we're attached to this perception of reality egoically. But if you can step out of that and look at it as a game, boy, it really does. It starts to change your perspective in terms of what is, like I said, good or bad.
Actually, you mentioned Avatar, and you're talking about life as a game, and I started to chuckle inside myself as I'm thinking. I play Wii with my nieces and nephews every once in a while, different games on Wii, and on occasion, I'll make a jump or do something, and I land flat on my face and die, and that's the end of the game, and I sit there and go, oh, that sucks, and watch everybody else play, and if there were an avatar and watching me in this lifetime, doing certain things that where I land flat on my face, thankfully I haven't really died yet, but I could just see my avatar going, oh yeah, that sucked.
Well, and you could call him Neo. And there's another overlay. There's the Matrix, right? There's an avatar within the Matrix, where does life cross over? And what's interesting is you get into, again, going back to the science and the holographic universe, the mind, the studies they're doing between the exchange of information from the heart at a heart level, but also the brain's natural way to perceive the reality, and it's part of what David was talking about in terms of five sensory perception. But what they're doing in terms of virtual reality and simulations and three-dimensional gaming and augmented reality, it is recreating. The brain is responding, and the biophysical reactions that are happening in the body within these simulators are identical to what happens in the physical reality. So the brain doesn't know the difference. It's starting to not know the difference because the graphics and the mechanics and the olfactory technologies create an experience that is so like the reality that we know is reality. Where's the line? The lines are blurred. So, you have to allow yourself to take the to be open to the possibility of more of that. What else are we going to learn? What else don't we know? And are we really, again, spirit inhabiting a physical form that is decoding our reality? Like David says, it's a pretty interesting argument.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're making me think of like Second Life, and getting back to the Wii thing. You're asking what if and what else do we not know? Well, think about these kids that are growing up with these kinds of games. As a matter of fact, in particular, in one of the games, I think it's actually called an avatar, my nephew was recreating me, like, oh, let's make you look like this. Oh, let's give you a mustache. Oh, this is funny. Let's give you, this kind of a body and whatever. And he was creating me right on screen. And he's five. And this is normal.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, exactly. And another one that at least I grew up with, and I've always had an intuitive feeling that this would happen in my lifetime, and it is now becoming reality in terms of what they're learning about the brain, is total recall and the ability to upload and download programs, and how, they're starting to recognize the brain as a processor and this exchange of information. And that there, there is that ability to tap in and pinpoint and augment knowledge And, you know, so again, here we are. Is it a fixed, being that we are in that has limitations, or is it an unlimited being that is able to continue to evolve based on this ongoing ability to program and reprogram and again, decode the reality that's around us?
You know, that's really interesting because I heard you say something recently that I have found to be true for me and probably for more of us or maybe even all of us. But somebody reminded you of something and you said, I'm not recalling that at the moment, but as that file opens, I might recall all kinds of different things now that you're bringing that to my attention. And interestingly enough, within that same period when we were having that conversation, you had reminded me about something and I just couldn't place it. And I tried to systematically within my brain figure out what it was that you were referring to, but we didn't have time to discuss it. And then I remember later on taking a nap, and as I sat down to nap, I had an image in my mind, and I was trying to figure out what is this image about, and it was the answer to the total recall, so to speak, of what you were referring to, and everything that happened during that scene was back in my memory.
Yeah, well, let's see, it gets exciting because this now starts to validate and to tap into the more traditional psychological theories and studies of the subconscious mind and what has been known in the past. But not only, you know, do we recognize that all of this information exists and all of this information is stored, and people know that because what they carry around emotional and trauma or emotion from their childhood or traumatic events in their subconscious, and they have to go to therapy and everything else. Well, then every other experience that you have is in there somewhere, you know, so as well as then you start talking about the idea of the universal mind that maybe we're not remembering at a local level, but maybe that we are tapping into and facilitating knowledge at a universal level, and our conscious mind is the limit, and our unconscious mind is the gateway, and through its connectivity, as well as through the dream state, where I believe you're uploading and downloading programs, to this greater storehouse of information.
Like the internet, that information is not on my computer, but as soon as I log on to the internet, I have all this information available to me. And Einstein said that he just figured things out by asking a question and then napping. And supposedly he would hold a rock or something that would make noise as soon as he fell into that dream state or something, because evidently that's when the quote unquote, as you're saying, download happened. And as soon as he'd go into that state, he'd drop the rock because his body would let go of it's you know, holding the rock, and it would wake him up, and he would wake up with the answer.
All right, now here, this crosses over, because yes, absolutely, and I've had a theory that we've talked about when I discussed some of my self-operating system beliefs, and one of those, again, is the uploading and downloading, but it has to do with our conscious mind being like a two-way radio, where if you're thinking, you're outputting, you can't hear an incoming message unless you let your fingers off the trigger and stop thinking, and allow the message to come through. So that is what he's doing by going to sleep and allowing that connection to that dream state. The same way now we can consciously make this happen in a waking state through meditation by shutting our mind off, letting our fingers off the trigger, letting the messages in. Both ways of connecting to this greater source of information, this universal mind.
You know, Mark, talk about two-way radio. When I was a kid, my older brother got a little kit to make a radio. And as I got older, I realized that the radio that he made was made from a little crystal rock and a little copper wire. And on it, he could pick up radio waves and we can listen to the radio. And so I was thinking, well, wait a minute, I have copper minerals inside my body. I have crystal minerals inside. I have all kinds of, so I'm technically better than that little radio that he created. So how come I can't pick up what's in the airwaves and maybe I can?
Well, I was just going to say, you can, you do, we are. The limit is in our thinking and our knowing, our believing what is or isn't possible. And, you know, there are people, the more people I talk to that are open to this, you know, extrasensory, you know, communication, this thinking of something, and their partner, their close family member thinks of the same thing and responds in telepathy, or putting it out there in a conscious way where I'll call my dad. In fact, I have a friend, I'll call my dad and he'll, you know, mentally, then he'll respond and he'll call me back. But I have another friend who gets the biggest kick out of this, and he's not necessarily of this discussion. But he does this on his own. He's like, watch. And he'll call a friend that's within, you know, 500 yards of us mentally. And we'll be, you know, maybe his friend's outside. We're inside having a discussion. He's going to watch. I'm going to call John. And sure enough, within 30 seconds, John will turn around and come walking into him. or someone else, but he plays those mental games. And so this expanded perspective of what's possible in terms of living, and I believe that's the limit, is what is possible, what we believe is possible. And the more that we are believing more is possible, we are then accessing more in reality.
And this is exciting to me, and yet at the same time a little scary to me, because along with some of the cool things that we're talking about, some of these games have a lot of people killing a lot of other people, and if the minds are blurring, and those that are learning how to do this, instead of calling friends, they can wish harm on their friends or do it even unknowingly. But as we start to figure this stuff out, I'm looking at this saying, wait a minute, this could be scary.
You can write good lines of code and you can write bad lines of code.
Yeah, good point.
You have free will, and just like you take, you know, a computer and you decide what kind of program you're going to put in there and what it is going to run, I believe it's the same way. If you take, you know, the introduction of a baby into this world, wherever they land, they're starting with a blank slate. Now, of course, there's a larger argument for what they're bringing with them and their essence and their parental programming and everything else. But let's just talk about their conscious programming. Do they know anything? No. They are going to learn from what you share with them. They're going to learn from their environment. They're going to learn from what they see and what they experience. And they're going to take it all in, what they know they're taking in and what they're perceiving with their subconscious. Mm-hmm. And yes, if they're put into an environment, you know, where they learn, you know, to love everybody, that's the kind of person they're going to be. If they put into an environment where they're afraid of a certain people or a certain situation or a certain environment, then that's the kind of person they're going to be. And this is the one thing that I really am passionate about, is I really don't understand why people take such a firm stance on what it is that they believe, or because it's what they've grown up with. And you have to look at somebody else with compassion. Say, if that's all they knew, how can they be wrong? Because they were never taught anything different.
Well, and they have the opportunity to think or learn or experience or try out something different, having listened to our shows and our conversations, especially the one today. And I think we've written some pretty cool line of code in order for us to be able to have this conversation. And speaking of being able to have this conversation, I want to do a shout out to Fred Spangard out in Maui with Global Media Productions, who originally several months ago put me in touch with David Icke personally and said, Filippo, you've got to interview him. And David Icke have had this great, and I have had this great conversation back and forth for many months, and then finally we were able to make this happen for our big 4th of July bang holiday weekend show.
I think that's fantastic. I'm glad you gave the shout out. This has been a wonderful show. It's you know, it's interesting, you know, David touches on so many topics, and you know, it's been neat to explore that and to have this chat to kind of sum it all up and give us something to think about as we go into next week.
Indeed. Well, with that, we wish everybody a happy 4th of July. And I want to thank our producer, Mark Lejeur, of course, our producer, Dorothy Donahue. Want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for what they've done to help us put this show together today. Of course, David Icke, our guest. I am Filippo Voltaggio, also thanking all of you for being part of the show, being part of the positive changes we all wish to see in this beautiful world of ours. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ionways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change, change, change.